be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't
Hello,
worry.
This is Gail Moskowitz, and thank you for listening to Mental Health Matters. On today's show, we are going to discuss panic disorder and phobia. And the reason that I chose this topic for today's show is that it is probably the one emotional, behavioral, mental disorder that every single person can on some level relate to. We'll talk a little bit more about why I say that in a moment. As you know, Mental Health Matters is a program dedicated to issues pertaining to mental health, interpersonal relations, addiction, sex and sexuality, and discussing healthy ways in which to live a more thoughtful and emotionally honest and fulfilling life. Last week, Dr. Vicki Van Cleve filled in for me, and she spoke about talking to and managing the issues of later life and managing the issues that parents and grandparents have as they age. It was a terrific show, and I appreciate you all tuning in to listen to it. I'm thrilled to be back this week. The number at which you can reach us or reach me today is 649-9737, 649-9737. You can call and ask me anything you would like to in regard to panic disorder and phobia. Mental Health Matters has routinely come to you every Monday at 1 p.m., but now we come to you every Thursday at 1 p.m. So I hope if you're new to the show because you haven't been able to listen on Monday and you're listening on Thursday, that you will enjoy today's show and you'll tune back in again next Thursday at 1 p.m. You can also listen to the program in real time, by logging on to your WRIR website, www.rir.org. And the show will be available for you to listen to by this evening, along with all the past shows, by logging on to my website. You can get to my website by getting to WRIR's website and just clicking on schedule and then clicking on Mental Health Matters. I'm happy to send you a link to my email at any time, which is Your Mental Health Matters. That's all one word, the letters urmentalhealthmatters@gmail.com. If you have any questions or comments or suggestions for a future show, please feel free to send me your thoughts. That's how I got to thinking about doing the show we're doing today, because I've gotten two questions in regard to phobia and panic disorder. So let me tell you a little bit about what I'm talking about. And one more time, if you remember, if you'd like to call in today and ask me a question about phobia or panic disorder, 649-9737. So a gentleman named Matthew wrote me and said that he had a chance to be promoted and that he could not take the promotion and make more money because his new job role would require him to speak in front of groups, and that he couldn't make himself do that. He could speak to friends. He was quite articulate, but he absolutely could not envision himself standing in front of groups on a regular basis giving presentations. Now, this is an interesting thought, because do you know that public speaking phobia is the phobia that more people have than anything else. Matter of fact, probably half of us have some degree of public speaking phobia. Now, that's a huge number, but here's what I want you to ask yourself. How do you feel when you're asked to get up in front of a group and speak about very simple things, perhaps even just to introduce yourself? How many of us have had the experience of being in a group and the leader of the group is going to go around to each person in the group and ask those people just to introduce ourselves or say a little bit about who we are, give very concrete, specific information about ourselves, and we begin to get a little panicky? our stomach begins to get a little queasy. Perhaps even we begin to feel a little hot, or our hearts begin to race just a little bit faster as our turn to speak in front of the group grows nearer, we feel less and less calm. That is a little bit of public speaking phobia. And then let's make it a little bit bigger. What if you're asked from that group to stand up and not just to say a little bit about yourself from where you are sitting down, but to literally get to the front of the classroom or the front of wherever you are and literally share something about yourself or tell a story? How does that feel? It is amazing how many people would almost rather eat a bag of rocks than do that. It is makes people very anxious. And that anxiety about speaking in public is ubiquitous to humanity. More people than not have some of that, and a lot of people have a lot of that. This question that Matthew asks about giving up a promotion because it would require public speaking, it would require speaking in front of groups, that he would rather not allow himself to get promoted than to work through the anxiety that he feels speaking in front of groups. This is not an uncommon thing. And I am going to talk about how you might be able to get over that. But first, let me tell you what phobia and panic disorder is. Now, it's a huge topic. It goes from having so much panic and so much phobia, so many fears of so many things that literally one can not be able to live one's life. And that is on one end of the continuum, a huge burden for somebody to have to deal with in one's life. And on the other end, it could be a very simple phobia. So let's talk about a simple phobia. Anybody afraid of spiders? How about birds flying? Anybody afraid of mice? Anybody afraid of driving over bridges? Anybody afraid of very specific things that just make them really anxious? This is a simple phobia. And perhaps you have an anxiety of snakes or spiders or rodents, and that, oh man, it creeps you out so bad that perhaps you wouldn't allow yourself to go camp out, or perhaps you wouldn't really want to go stay in a really old bed and breakfast on some, you know, in the middle of a farm somewhere, because man, you just don't want to encounter the things that are out there. And short of avoiding those kinds of things, you pretty much go along on your life. And if you are confronted with those objects, like the spider or the rodent, it just freaks you out, creeps you out, you run and scream, you don't want to deal with it, you make somebody else kill the spider. But for the most part, you move on with your life. This is a simple and specific phobia. Now, let's take it a little bit further. What if you are so anxious about spiders that every place you've ever seen a spider go, you begin to slowly but surely avoid going to those places? And let's say one day you are out and a spider crawls across your foot and it makes you so anxious that you go into a full-blown panic attack. And the panic attack takes your breath away and your heart begins to race very, very quickly. And your hands begin to shake, and you literally feel hot. You might feel like throwing up or even passing out. It is the most out of control, awful feeling you've ever had. And after the spider goes away, it doesn't go away. The panic attack continues to plague you, and 3 hours later, you're still in a heightened sense of panic. And then you begin to think, oh my God, maybe I'm having a heart attack because it's so intense and it's so overwhelming. So you go to the emergency room and they do an entire workup and they say to you, you're just having a panic attack, as if just having a panic attack is an easy thing to deal with. And the panic attack is so overwhelming that you think to yourself, oh my God, I never want to feel that again. I am never going back to that place where I saw that spider. Matter of fact, I'm not going back anywhere where there'll ever be spiders again. And you begin to circumscribe your life and make your life smaller and smaller and smaller. And let me just throw one other thing out. Perhaps you wind up having a panic attack in the middle, apropos of nothing, in the middle of nowhere, where you can't even figure out what triggered you feeling that anxious, and you wind up with a panic attack. So you don't even have something to blame it on. How do you then begin to manage those feelings? And it's overwhelming. Perhaps you're driving over a bridge, and you've always had a little bit of anxiety about bridges or going upstairs or small places like elevators or heights. And one time when you're doing that, driving over a bridge or going up an elevator, you literally become so sensitized to being afraid at that moment that you wind up having a panic attack in one of those places, and you go from being anxious about doing it to never wanting to do it again. So you go from having a panic disorder, you go from having a panic attack to having a panic disorder to literally having a phobic response to something that keeps you from living your life. Now, if you have any questions about this today, please feel free to call me. The number here is 649-9737. 649-9737. Okay, so now what you're avoiding is no longer the stimulus that created the panic attack. You're now avoiding the panic because that feeling is so overwhelming that you never want to feel it again. So the next thing you know, you go from taking roads you know you won't have to drive over a bridge to never getting in your car again for fear of having to drive over a bridge, and your life begins to get smaller and smaller. Perhaps you go from having an anxiety about heights to never going anywhere that you'll have to go above the first floor. What does this do to your life? Well, it completely changes the course of your life. It completely keeps you from being able to live the life you want to have. And you get so focused on it, and then everyone around you has to begin to focus on it too. Because if you're married or you have children, imagine how those things then begin to affect the life you have with them. And it's hard to know how to confront these things that are getting in your way. Now, let me ask you something. I want everyone who's listening to me now to just think briefly about some of the things that make them nervous or make them anxious. Have you ever had something make you nervous or make you anxious that you literally managed to get over? Let me give you an example. We just talked about a lot of examples, height and elevators, because people have claustrophobia. Flying is a big one. So people who have anxiety about flying never get to fly anywhere. Perhaps they'd like to travel, but they really can't. It's very difficult to travel if you really want to travel in a big way, to travel without being able to get on an airplane. So let's talk a little bit about why people have these phobic responses. Well, first of all, people who have panic attacks probably have a neurological predisposition to having anxiety. That means they're wired differently than individuals who, and I bet we know some, I bet each of you know some, people who have no fear about anything. And people who have no fear about anything actually cause themselves some great problems as well. But we're not talking about them today. We'll discuss that another time. But it's a neurology where people are not sensitive or sensitized to things that are actually they should be afraid to, but we're talking about people who are now beginning, who are neurologically predisposed to be anxious about things that are a matter of course for all of us. Now, let me try to paint this picture so you understand what I'm saying. And I do want to tell you, if you have any questions for me today about panic disorder or phobia, please call me, 649-9737, 649-9737. You're listening to Mental Health Matters on WRIR, and we're talking today about panic disorder and phobia. Okay, imagine you're driving on I-95 going north through Washington, D.C. on a Friday afternoon. Imagine how busy that road is. Imagine how many lunatics are on that road. People smoking, on their cell phone, eating, just generally being aggravated that they're in so much traffic. Now imagine if instead of looking around you and seeing how fast people are going or how slow people are going or all the things that are going on around you when you're on I-95 and so much traffic, and really these days you don't have to wait till Friday afternoon to have traffic on I-95. The roads are just getting worse and worse, but that's commentary for another day. So what if you could not screen out how scary it is that the young lady next to you is texting, drinking a Slurpee, and driving with her knees at 60 miles an hour? What if you couldn't screen out all the things all the people were doing in their car? And I don't mean make you mad, because those kinds of things aggravate us, but I mean becoming so overwhelmingly panicked by how all the other drivers are managing the road to the point of your heart racing, sweating, and becoming panicked. This is what happens for people with phobic disorder. They cannot screen out the nuances of life that all of us take for granted. So if you go up in a very high place, let's say the Statue of Liberty or the Empire State Building, and you get out and you stand by the rail, and oh, you feel a little uncomfortable, a little fluttery, but you're there and it's good and it's pretty cool to be up there. But if you let yourself think about, oh my gosh, I am so high up, then you might get a little bit anxious. People with phobia cannot screen out the fear that they would feel standing on that railing on the top of the Statue of Liberty. Their brains cannot sort out that they're on safe ground. Imagine feeling that every day. Imagine feeling that going to the second floor in a building. Imagine feeling that kind of claustrophobia or fear of not being able to get out of an elevator, just going up on an elevator every day. That's what people with phobic disorder and a predisposition to that kind of anxiety, phobia, and panic attacks have in terms of their neurology. Then they have a panic attack, and then their lives become smaller and smaller and smaller. And literally, we get to a place where we're not able to have the life we want to have. So that's a big thing. Is there treatment for it? Is there treatment for Matt, who would just like to be able to get promoted at work? Is there treatment that would enable him to get through these fears? Well, let me tell you something. There is. Phobia, panic disorder, anxiety, it's really fairly treatable. It gets less treatable when those phobias and the anxieties are so widespread that it has infiltrated almost every area of one's life. It becomes more difficult to treat, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But if you've only just had one panic attack, or you've never really had a full-blown panic attack, but you hate those awful feelings that you have when you're standing up in front of a classroom, or things that you avoid doing, but it hasn't really eaten into the fabric of your life yet, these disorders are very treatable. So let me talk a little bit about the kinds of treatments that we have for panic disorder and phobia. You are listening to Mental Health Matters. This is Gail Moskowitz. Feel free to give me a call today about panic disorder or phobia. It's 649-9737. 649-9737. So how do we begin to treat this kind of phobia? Well, let's go back to Matt's question. He's the one who would choose not to take a promotion rather than have to stand in front of people and speak. Okay, well, the first thing that I would do if I was treating Matt is I would ask him, why are you afraid? And I would ask him to tell me what all the thoughts are that he has when he's being asked to speak in front of a group. And I would ask him what his what-ifs are, okay? And what I mean by the what-ifs, these are the things that they are afraid of. What if I make a mistake? What if I get tongue-tied? What if my heart begins to race so loudly that the people in the first row can actually hear me? And I'm going to continue this conversation in a second, but I actually have a caller, so let me get to the caller, and then I'll get back to the beginnings of treatment. Caller, this is Gail Moskowitz. Do you have a question about panic disorder or phobia?
I just have kind of a comment, because you mentioned something about to the effect of having anxiety and then actually, getting over it over time. And it's just kind of it's a strange example, but I, as long as I can remember throughout grade school, I had really terrible anxiety of being in front of people to the point where I remember in my Spanish class, even sitting down, not standing in front of people, I froze up during a dialogue for a full 2 minutes. And it just compounded the problem. And I ended up, in my adult life, it was something that I didn't like about myself, because it really was. I mean, any social situation where I didn't, if I didn't feel a certain sense of control, I really felt just really high anxiety that I just wanted to get out of there as quickly as possible. And so the solution I came up with was I just decided to do something that would probably be the most terrifying thing I could imagine doing. And that was I sang some karaoke songs and without any alcohol. And it was really, really was utterly terrifying. It was one of the most frightening things I think I had done with that. But over time, I just kept forcing myself to do it. And over time, I started feeling a little bit less anxiety each time. And so eventually, I actually started to like doing it, because I liked the fact that I wasn't frightened.
Right, right. Well, and
what's interesting... go ahead. Yeah.
Well, caller, two things. One is that's the most common anxiety people have. And two, you got it right. The problem is that some people are so anxious that you have to do a lot of work before you can get them to practice the behavior that will ultimately allow them to get over their phobia. Because the only way to the other side of the phobic response is to practice and practice and practice, which you did intuitively figure out.
Well, and it was one of those things that I found, though, that if I don't do that or something else, I actually do from time to time do some public speaking based on some activism that I'm involved in. So that and, you know, helps as well. But I found that if I don't do either of those for quite a while, then
it starts to come back.
It comes back, and you know, so there's definitely, you know, and I do understand that, you know, those neural pathways were formed, so they're always there, and you know, so it's just, it's interesting because, I mean, there are times where, you know, I've been with friends in a certain situation, but there was some element where I didn't feel in control at all, and it really, it's amazing how quickly I can actually be thrown back into feeling like I did when I was 16 years old.
Right,
and,
right. Let me ask you to...
actually have a panic attack.
Right.
So
that was my question. Have you ever had a full-blown panic attack?
Certainly not to the extent that you described as far as ending up thinking that there is some, you know, other medical problem, but certainly where, you know, hyperventilating and things like that, I've had that probably occur like two or three times in my life.
Right.
So it is kind of more extreme if it happens.
So listen, thank you so much for calling, and it's a great example, and I hope that you'll listen to the show again. Next week, we're going to talk about hypnosis, and it might be interesting, and my guest is going to be George Balavis. Thank you so much for the call.
Thank you.
So the caller has a great, he really set me up to begin to give you this information, which is the only way to the other side of the anxiety is to practice the behavior. Now, the problem is that if I say to somebody who really has an entrenched phobia, okay, how we're going to get over your panic about going on the top of a building is make you go on the top of a building. Well, you're not going to go with me on the top of that building. So I'm going to begin by doing exactly what I said I would do with Matt. I would say to him, okay, what is it you fear? And I would get you to contain your thinking. Write down, I'm afraid my hands will sweat. I'm afraid my heart will beat so hard that the person in the front row will hear me. I'm afraid I'll make a mistake. I'm afraid that I'll make a fool of myself. And then if I say to you, really in an intellectual way, okay, and really how bad would that be? Because if you were in the front row listening and the person who was speaking, if their heart was racing or they made a mistake, really how badly would you judge them? And probably you would tell me I wouldn't judge them at all, but I know people would be judging me. But worst, I judge myself. And if I were to say to you, how come you're afraid to go over bridges? And you would say, I'm afraid I might have a car accident on a bridge. I'm afraid the bridge might break. I'm afraid that I might accidentally drive over the bridge. I'm afraid that I'll get my car will break while I'm on the bridge and I can't get off. This is something that you might say to me. So I would get you to contain those thoughts that you have that keep you in that loop in your head over and over and over again with fear. Then I would begin to teach you some behavioral kinds of good techniques to help you calm yourself down, and we would talk a lot about that a lot. And then I would begin to make a list with you about what we can do to get you slowly but surely to move into the worst of your panic. We can talk more about panic disorders and anxiety, and I'll put some good information on my website. We can talk more about it at another time. It's one of my favorite topics, but next week we're going to talk about using hypnosis as a way of dealing with anxiety. And I hope that you'll tune in when my show will highlight George Balavis, who will speak about hypnosis. And I hope that you will tune in next Thursday at 1:00. I thank you very much for listening to the show today on Thursday on our new time at 1:00. I want to tell you that if you are a person with panic disorder and phobia, there is hope for you. There is help for this kind of anxiety. And I am going to post some of that information on my website. And I hope that you will get on my website and get the information. If you have any questions for me, please feel free to send me an email at Your Mental Health Matters or through the station. Thank you very much for listening to Mental Health Matters. This is Gail Moskowitz, and have a great week.
be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it.